So I want to pray this prayer over you and over myself right now. The prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 3. So let me pray this over you. Father, I do not cease to give thanks for the people of City on a Hill Church, for the people that stand before me this day, that you, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Father, I pray that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of your calling, what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of your power toward us who believe. Father, it's according to the working of your mighty power that you worked in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in the heavenly places. Thank you for that same power in the name of Jesus. Thank you for that revelation, Lord, in our hearts today. And Father, I pray that you would grant to us, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might through your Spirit in our inner being, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, that we would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, Father, I thank you that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. To you be the glory in this church. To you be the glory in every life and in every family that's represented here by Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Now you're ready to receive the Word of God sown into your heart. Amen. So look with me at 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4. 1 John 5 and verse 4. Praise the Lord. I hope you brought your Bible today. Hallelujah. If you didn't, I want to encourage you to get in a habit of taking your Bible. I think it's important. So, well, I've got it on my phone. That's great. That's good. I'm thankful for all the technology that we have. I'm thankful we can put the Scripture up on the screen And I'll use different translations, and so we use the screen for that, is because you probably don't have more than one translation with you, unless you do have your phone, and then that's the advantage of having that. But I like having a good hard copy of the Bible. Amen? Amen. I want to encourage you to do the same and have that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Scripture says here, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Now, I do want to read it out of the Message Bible. The Message says it this way: "Every God-begotten person conquers the world's ways. The conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith." Do you know that you have conquering power available to you? Hallelujah. The conquering power that brings the world to our knees, to its knees, is our faith. The person who wins out over the world's ways is simply the one who believes Jesus is the Son of God. Now, I want to point out to you before we get any further into this, and of course today we're talking about faith. We're talking about faith that overcomes the world. That's the kind of faith that you've been given. The Bible says God has dealt to every man, every Christian. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're given a measure of faith, a measure of the God kind of faith. So that's the kind of faith we're talking about. It's faith that overcomes the world. It's faith that you have that's available to you and to me. So we're going to talk about that. But I want to point out when he's talking about he says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. The Message Bible says the world's ways, and then the conquering power that brings the world to its knees. We were visiting with our son Travis yesterday. He came up and we had a nice visit with him. And so he was talking about some of his plans for the future. And so, Robin, I forget exactly what she asked him. And she says, "But so is this really what you see yourself doing? Is this what you believe God wants you to do?" He said, "Really? Well, really what I want is world domination." So, what? Jokingly, of course. And so I should have pointed out this scripture to him. Well, Travis, it's right here, the conquering power that brings the world. So when we're talking about overcoming the world, we're not talking about world domination in the sense that some people would think of it, that I want to control the world. It's not that. The world that John is talking about here in 1 John is the world system without God. It's the world system without God. And so we are to overcome this world system. There is a world system that is operating that we encounter every day. It's a world system without God. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yes. Is anybody aware of that? Have you run up against that in your life? This world system without God. But he says that the person that's born of God overcomes this world system. Amen. And it's our faith, it's not our own ability, but it's our faith that overcomes the world. So we need to know how to live and move in this faith, don't we? This world system includes the people that are living under this system, and this system is influenced and dominated by Satan. Yes, there is a real devil. Yes, there is a being, an individual called Satan, and the Bible calls him, Jesus called him, in fact, the God of this world. The God of this world. Well, he's not big G in the sense that he's not the God that created the earth, but he became the little g, God of this world, when Adam and Eve sold out to him way back in the Garden of Eden. That's why what they did was so earth-shattering, because he became the ruler of this world. But Jesus came and stripped him of his authority. Amen? So for those who believe in Jesus, we have authority over him. But for those that are not believers, he still has domination and control and influence. And he will try to influence us as believers if we don't know and exercise our authority over him. Amen?
That's right.
Praise God. So John, when he's talking about the world here, he uses this term earlier in his letter, in the book of 1 John here. He says this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. So look at this with me. 1 John 2:15, he says, "Do not love the world." Again, talking about the world system. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." I like the message. We won't put it up there on the screen, but the message here says love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Well, it does that, doesn't it? You ever found that in your life? When you get caught up in this world system, it kind of just squeezes out the love for the Father, doesn't it? Well, then we should not let that happen. He said, "If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life," he summarizes this world system in these three phrases, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, "it's not of the Father, but of the world." All right. So the scriptures tells us that we're in the world. Jesus communicated this, that we're to be in the world, but we are not of the world. Amen.
Right.
We're living in this world system, but we're not of this world system. We're not part of this world system. We're born of God now.
Right.
Hallelujah. We're in a new kingdom now. We're in the kingdom of God now that overcomes and overrides this world system. Amen. And we're not to be overcome and just swallowed up by the world system. We're to relate to the world, but we're not to allow ourselves to be absorbed by the world.
Amen.
We're to stand out.
Yeah, right.
We are to shine. Amen? Like we talked about earlier. We're not, and so we're not to be overcome and swallowed up by the world system. Neither are we. So some people say, well, since I'm not supposed to do that, then I just better get out of it entirely. No, we're not to isolate ourselves either. We're in this world.
Right.
We're to be salt and light. We're to influence this world. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. And so we're to overcome the world. We're to overcome this world system. And he says the way we do that, the only way we can do that, he said, this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Our faith. Praise God. Now the world says this, the world says fear, the world system is saying lack, the world system is saying selfishness, the world system is saying there's no hope, the world system is saying you have no purpose, but our faith is the victory that overcomes all that. Our faith is the victory that overcomes fear. Our faith is the victory that overcomes lack. Our faith is the victory that overcomes selfishness, that overcomes purposelessness. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. So it's God's will, it's God's plan that you live in victory, that you live in victory over fear. Amen? God wants you living in victory over fear. He doesn't want you paralyzed by fear. He doesn't want you making decisions based on fear. Too many people make decisions based on fear and they make the wrong decision. If you make a decision out of fear, you're making the wrong decision. Isn't that right? Or we shouldn't make decisions based on selfishness, on sickness, on worry, sorrow. Amen. We have victory over that. And it's our faith that gives us the victory. Now, he says here, whatever is born of God, he says, this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. And so that's past tense. We have already overcome. Amen? Amen? According to what Jesus did, we've overcome. All we have to do is believe that. All we have to do is stand in that victory. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Now, two points here. The first one is this. Everybody look this way. I need to know that you're with me. Amen? We all have the same. He said, this is the victory that's overcome the world, even our faith. Now, the margin of my Bible says your faith. And so both of them fit. It's our faith in this. He says we all have the same quality of faith. He didn't say, now, if you've got the kind of faith I've got, you might overcome the world. But if you don't, you probably won't. No, he said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So John is saying, the faith that I have is the same faith that you've got. Amen. We've all been given a measure of the God kind of faith, is my point. Amen. Are y'all with me? So we all have the same quality of faith. It's the God kind of faith. Praise God. And so this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Again, the margin of my Bible says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, your faith. Now, here's where that part's important. It's your faith that will cause you to overcome the world. We need each other in the body of Christ. We're connected to each other. But ultimately, if you're going to overcome, it's not going to be what somebody else believes for you. It's not going to be what somebody else does for you. It's going to be what you believe. Amen. Amen. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. For you to overcome, you're going to have to believe. You're going to have to choose to believe God. Amen? Amen. Somebody else can't do it for you. Amen? Right. Jesus, remember Mark 11, 23, let's look at that. What Jesus, some of the classic statements that Jesus made about faith. In Mark 11, 23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. So who's saying? The individual is saying. So you know, I can't do this for you. You can't do this for somebody else. Jesus said, whoever says and doesn't doubt in his heart, he believes the things he says will be done, and he will have it. I won't have what you say. You will have what you say. I'm going to have what I say. Amen. Did you get that? Yeah. Amen. Now, again, we can help people in their faith. We can agree with people. Certainly, there's a place for that. But ultimately, you're going to have what you say. Amen. You're going to have what you say and believe. Right. Amen. Amen. Again, he says in verse 24, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it. You won't believe you receive and I have it. I won't believe and receive and you have it. No, you believe, you receive, you have. Amen? Amen? So again, the point is, for you to walk in victory, you're going to have to exercise faith. Is that right?
That's right.
I mean, you can't get saved for somebody else, can you? They have to call on the name of the Lord. They have to believe. Amen? And so it goes throughout our Christian life. So the two pillars then, here's what I want to get to. The two pillars that our faith, this overcoming faith, the two pillars that they rest on are these. Number one, knowing God's love for you, and number two, knowing the will of God. So if you're going to have overcoming faith, the foundation for that faith, the pillars that that faith rests on are these. Number one, knowing God's love for you. And then number two, knowing the will of God, knowing what God's will is. So the first one, let's look at that, knowing God's love for you. If you're going to be strong in faith, you have to know that God loves you. I said, if you're going to be strong in faith, you have to know that God loves you. That's why we prayed. That's why I prayed that prayer over you at the beginning from Ephesians 3, that you may know the love of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. That you may know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. He says, when you know that, he said, you'll be filled with the fullness of God. Amen? Amen. It's so important that we know that God loves us. It's so important that I know God loves me. See, it's easy to say, yeah, God loves all of us. What about you? Does God love you? Well, I'm not so sure about that one. Amen? I mean, it's easy to say, oh, yeah, God, Jesus loves everybody. Well, what about you? Does he love you? Well, I'm not so sure. You don't know me. You don't know what I've done. God does, and he still loves you. Amen. Amen. Look at 1 John chapter 5 here. Is that where we're at? 4, excuse me. 1 John 4, verse 16. This is out of the English Standard. So John, in his letter here, he mentions these two things. These two pillars that are the foundation for our faith are mentioned here in 1 John. So he says, this is the victory that overcomes the world. It's our faith. Well, how are we going to have faith? How are we going to be strong in faith? 1 John 4, this is out of the English Standard Version. 1 John 4, 16, he says, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. We have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. So that has to take place in your life. That has to take place in you. You have to come to know the love that God has for you. And then once you've come to know it, you have to decide, you know, I'm going to believe that. I'm going to believe that God loves me. Because your feelings won't tell you that. People around you won't always tell you that. You have to believe it because God said it in His Word. You have to choose it. When you come to know the love that God has for you by what He's revealed in His Word, you have to choose to believe that and accept that. Amen? Amen. Yes. We have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, verse 17, by this is love perfected with us so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. We're in the world, but not of the world. As he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Notice that. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. So again, for your faith to be strong, for your faith to be effective, for your faith to overcome the world, you have to come to know and you have to believe the love that God has for you. That's number one. That's number one. How am I going to do that? How am I going to come to know His love? Well, I come to know His love through the truth, through discovering the truth from His Word of who He is, of what He's like, and of how He thinks toward me. Isn't that right? Amen. And that, again, that's the whole thing that they did at youth camp, countering the lies that had been the names that people had given them, the lies that the enemy had told them about themselves, and they countered that with, okay, here's what God says about you. Here's what the truth is. Here's what the Word says you are. Amen. And James calls this a mirror, and in Corinthians, Paul uses the same terminology, that the Word of God is a mirror. The Word of God shows you who you really look like. Amen. When you look into the Word, that's who you really are. Amen. So, We receive the revelation of God's love for us through the truth of His Word, but also this is very important, also through experiencing the presence of God. So it's so important that you develop a relationship with God. It's so important that you pray, that you take time just to worship Him and come into His presence and let your heart reach out to Him, because that's also a way that His love is revealed. Amen? Praise God. And then he says here again, he says, perfect love, there's no fear in love, in verse 18, but perfect love casts out fear. Now, why is this important? And what does this have to do with faith? Well, faith and fear cannot coexist. Fear is the opposite of faith. You know, Job said the thing, if you've struggled with the book of Job, this will open it up to you right here. In Job chapter 3, verse 25, Job says, "The thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. The thing that I greatly feared has come upon me." Fear attracted all that destruction into Job's life. Fear did that. It's just the opposite of faith. Because faith attracts the blessings of God, the favor of God, and the goodness of God, and the provision of God into our lives. Faith is like a magnet that attracts God's blessing, God's provision. Fear is like a magnet that attracts all the evil that Satan wants to bring. So faith and fear cannot coexist. And he says here that perfect love, when we understand God's love for us, it casts out fear. Well, when fear is cast out, guess what's left? Faith. Amen. Faith. So your faith is going to flourish. Your faith is going to grow in an atmosphere when you know and you're conscious of, you're coming to know and believing the love that God has for you. Amen. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Praise God. You know, Jairus came to Jesus. His little daughter was dying. And then the report came, "Your daughter is dead. Don't trouble the teacher anymore." Jesus turned to Jairus and he said, "Fear not, only believe." Fear not, only believe. Because fear and faith are opposite. When fear is cast out, well, how am I going to fear not? When I get a revelation and I walk and live in that revelation of God's love for me. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, "God loves you." Now turn to yourself and say, "God loves me." That's a little harder, wasn't it? Amen. We need to learn to do that, though. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, you know, I've used this illustration many times. We've talked about the story of David and Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, when he was Saul's grandson, and David had become king, and the custom of the kings in those days was you eliminate all the family members of the former king so they can't rise up and take the throne back away from you. So Mephibosheth, Saul's grandson, he was lame and he was living in poverty and in nothing. And David found out there's still somebody left of the house of Saul. He said, "But I want to show him kindness." David, the Bible says, was a man after God's own heart. David was acting like God acts. Hallelujah. He said, "I want to show him kindness." That's our God. The world thinks God's out to kill him. Amen. But God wants to show them kindness. Amen. And he says, "I want to show him kindness for Jonathan's sake." David had made a covenant with Jonathan. And he said, "Because of that covenant with Jonathan, I'm going to show kindness to his son Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth doesn't have anything to offer me. Mephibosheth can't bring anything to strengthen me. I simply want to show him kindness and mercy and love." Amen. Hallelujah. We had nothing to offer to God, did we? When God sent Jesus to die for us, he didn't do that because, "Well, you know, I really need them. They've got some things that will strengthen." No, we had nothing to offer him. It was all his love and his kindness and his mercy. Amen? Mephibosheth came in with fear and trembling, thinking David is going to kill him. And he said, "No, relax. I'm going to show you kindness. You're going to eat bread at my table continually." Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. God is on your side. God loves you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, then he says this. He says, "We love him," verse number 19. We love, now the New King James says, "We love him In many translations, the him is left out of there. Well, it includes loving him, but it's not only vertical, it's horizontal. We love because he first loved us. You can't love other people properly. You can't love other people fully unless you first experience God's love for you.
Amen.
Hello?
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. We love because he first loved us. If you don't know God loves you, you're going to have trouble loving other people. Amen? If you are not aware of God's mercy towards you, it's going to be hard for you to extend mercy to others. But when you're aware of God's love for you, then it's easier for you to be merciful to others because you know how much God's been merciful to you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So, we love because he first loved us. And so faith and love go hand in hand. You can't really talk about faith without talking about love. And let's take this a step further here. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, and we'll look at it in the Amplified Bible. He says, "For if we are in Christ Jesus," how many are in Christ? He says, "neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith." What?
Faith.
Faith. That's the only thing that counts, faith. But this faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. So he said the thing that really counts is faith and love. Faith, and you can't separate faith and love. And he says faith is activated and energized by love.
Amen.
Well, that's when we have a revelation of God's love for us. When you know that God loves you, that will activate your faith and that will energize your faith. It'll be easy to believe God. People struggle in their faith. People struggle receiving the blessings of God, receiving the goodness of God in their lives because they're just not quite sure that God loves them. They're just not quite sure that they're worthy. They're just not quite sure that they've done enough for God to warrant God blessing them. Well, you'll never do enough to warrant God blessing you. I'll just clear the air of that right now. Amen? Are you out there? Hallelujah. He says, faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. So it's like a cycle here. A revelation of God's love will activate your faith and will energize your faith. But then also, we have to yield to this love and then allow this love to be expressed through us for our faith to be effective. So love feeds your faith, but then faith feeds your love. Amen?
Amen.
In Mark chapter 11, verse 25, here's what Jesus said about it. He said, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone," what? For where does that come from? That has to come from the love of God in you, doesn't it? And so when you stand, and again, Mark 11, 25, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that's the next verse after Mark 11, 23 and 24. Is that the way it reads in your Bible? Does Mark 11, 25 come after Mark 11, 23 and 24? Again, we read Mark 11, 23 and 24 earlier, these great statements on faith. Whosoever shall say, not doubt in his heart, but believe, you know, those things he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says, you know, say to the mountain, be removed. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them. That's the operation of faith. Then in Jesus says, and, here's verse 25, whenever you stand praying, what? Forgive. So what's he doing? He said, look, guys, now look, I'm giving you a warning here. If your faith is not working, here's probably why it's not working. Here's something that will short circuit your faith. Here's something that will keep your faith from working. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him. So here's where love will help your faith. Here's where yielding to the love of God and allowing the love of God to work through you to forgive that person will help your faith to keep working. Because without it, your faith is short-circuited. Are you out there?
Yes.
Amen. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Amen. So faith works through love. Our faith is energized and activated when we know God's love for us, and then also our faith can only work when we yield to the love of God, when we choose to forgive. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And we choose to walk in love. So let's move on to the second part of this. So our faith rests on knowing and believing the love that God has for us, yielding to that love, allowing that love to fill our lives. And he says, whoever lives in love lives in God. So this love is something we're to live in. Amen? Amen. Something that we're to live in. All right. And then the second thing is knowing the will of God. Knowing the will of God. 1 John, again, John writes about this in chapter 5 of 1 John, verse 14. He talks about this second pillar that our faith rests on, knowing the will of God. 1 John 5, verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. See, faith should be something, prayer should be something that we have confidence in. We need to be confident when we pray. People talk about worrying prayers. You know, God's not going to hear a worried prayer. Now, prayer can help you overcome worry, but if you're just worrying your prayers, you know, that's what Job was doing. When Job got into trouble, perhaps my children have sinned against the Lord. What am I going to do? And he was full of worry. See, worry and fear work together just like faith and hope work together. Worry is thinking the worst thing that can happen and filling your mind with, oh no, what's going to happen? That's the opposite of hope, isn't it? Hope is expecting good things to happen. Amen? That's what hope is. It's a confident and favorable expectation. And so, this is the confidence that we have in Him. When we come to God, we need to have confidence. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. What's my confidence? If I come to God and I ask according to His will, then I know He's heard me. Well, somebody said, well, Pastor, I know how to do that. Just tag every prayer with, you know, hashtag, if it be thy will. Now, that's not how it works. I've got to learn to speak hashtag. I don't know that yet. No, praying according to the will of God does not mean you just throw some prayer out and then at the end say, if it be your will. How can you have confidence in that? There's no confidence in that. Well, I don't know if it's His will or not. How are you going to know? Well, I guess if I get it, it was His will. If I didn't, it's not His will. No. Doesn't work that way. You can't have any confidence in that. You're always going to be unsure about that. No, this is the confidence we have that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. What does that mean? It means I found out His will before I ask Him. I found out what His will is, and I go to Him saying, Father, this is Your will. Well, how am I going to do that? How can I know the will of God? Well, He gave you a book that expresses His will. It's called the Bible. His Word is His will. God would not say one thing in His Word and then will something different. In fact, this is called the Old Testament and the New Testament. The New Testament is called the Testament of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. It's the last will and testament of Jesus. The good thing about this is Jesus died to bring the will into force, and then He was raised from the dead to see to it that we get everything He left us in the will. Amen. Amen. The book of Hebrews tells us about that. How am I going to know His will? His Word is His will. Praise God. So when I go to God, I ask according to His will. I find scriptures. I find promises that promise me, that back up what I'm asking Him. Well, what I want, what I'm asking God for, I can't find it in the Bible. Then you better not ask Him about that. Amen. So that's not prayer. You know, it's a shame they call, you know, of course, the The Catholic Church has the prayer called the Hail Mary. And of course, in a football game, if a team is just a desperation, you know, they're going to sling the ball 50 yards down the field and they're going to hope somebody taps it in the end zone and a guy comes down with it. It works about one time out of 1,000. Yeah. Hail Mary play. And people equate that with prayer. Prayer, yeah, and in a lot of people's experience, prayer works about one time in 1,000. Hit or miss. But that's not what the Bible says. That's not what God intended. That's not what the writers of the New Testament expressed to us in talking about prayer. That it's not a hit or miss, works one time out of 1,000. It ought to work 100 times out of 100. Amen. This is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Next verse. Verse 15 says, "And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him." That's 100 out of 100. That's 1,000 out of 1,000. Well, you never know what God's going to do. Yeah, you do know what God's going to do. He's going to do exactly what He said in His Word. Exactly. Oh, thank God for that revelation. I thank God that I found out years ago that God will do exactly what He said in His Word. I'm so thankful I found out years ago to base my prayers on the Word of God, to base my faith on the written Word of God and on the promises of God, that I could read the Word, that I could rightly divide that Word. Now, you can't just take one verse or a half verse out of context, but a verse, a scripture in context, in line with what the other, interpreting properly. Well, how do you interpret it? You interpret scripture in the light of other scripture. Amen. What do other passages say about that? What are the find this in one of the epistles, one of the letters? Or what are the other? What does it say in Romans? Well, it says this in Galatians. What does Romans say? If they mesh, then if that's consistent, all right. There's a promise I can stand on. Are you listening? Amen. I'm so thankful that I found that I could pray the Word of God. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that. That group of prayer warriors, Ms. Jermaine, led by Ms. Jermaine Copeland, wrote that book, Prayers That Avail Much. We got a hold of that years ago. I've shared it with you before it was even picked. There's been millions and millions of copies that Harrison House published. Before Harrison House Publishing Company ever picked it up, I had a copy made with, put together with plastic comb binding. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I got in on the foundation of this back in the early days. Amen. I've never left that. Don't plan on leaving it. Praying, finding scriptures that cover your situation. You can find them. Find scriptures. Well, that means I'm going to have to study the Bible. Yeah. That means I'm going to have to find out what God said. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Amen. Let me share with you just briefly what Brother Hagin wrote about this. I love this book. I got a hold of this book years ago. What to Do When Faith Seems Weak and Victory Lost. It's a great little book. And he takes it step by step, steps to follow if your faith seems weak and victory seems lost. And one of the steps is be sure the promises of God cover the things that you ask for. He says many times we use the term faith loosely, but recognize that when we talk about faith, we're talking about faith in God, and faith in God is faith in His Word. You can't separate faith in God from faith in the Word of God. You can't have faith in God and not have faith in His Word, and vice versa. Amen? He says, Faith comes, he quotes Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You're not going to have faith for something if you do not hear the Word of God on it. F.F. Bosworth, who was a great healing minister back in the 20s and 30s and on into the 40s, wrote the book Christ the Healer. He said this, he said, faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. You can't have faith for something if you don't know God promises it. But when you know God promises, when you read the Word of God, that's where faith will come. Hallelujah. That's where faith will come. Faith begins where the will of God is known. If we ask anything, John said, according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know we have it. Hallelujah. How am I going to know that I have it? How do I know that I will have it? If he hears me. He said, if we know he hears us, then we know that we have it. Do my feelings tell me? Well, I don't feel like I have it. No, your feelings are not a safe guide. Well, I didn't feel like God heard me when I prayed. You can't go by that. I said, you can't go by that. You may not feel a thing, but if you pray according to his word, he hears you. Well, if you know he heard you, how do I know he heard me? Because I prayed according to his word. I know I have it. We know that we have. The Amplified says, granted us as our present possessions. Before I see it, before I feel it, it's mine. How do I know it's mine? Faith is the evidence, the Bible says, of things not seen. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So let me finish reading to you what he said here. He says, find scriptures that cover your case. Find the scriptures that promise you the things you're praying for. Then you have a solid foundation for faith. If something arises, even though I know the scriptures which apply and can quote many of them, I do not pray about the matter immediately. I go to the Word. I read again the same scriptures I could quote. I go over them and over them and over them, sometimes for a day or two. Now, if an emergency arises, that's a different thing. I go over them again and again. In doing that, I'm building the Word of God into my spirit consciousness. Then when I get ready to act in faith, there is no doubt. I'm solid. Praise God. Hallelujah. He says the entrance of his Word gives light. The reason many fall and fail is because they've left the light of the Word of God. They're walking in presumption or folly. What does God's Word say? Too many answer, well, I don't know. Find out what it says. Find the scriptures that promise you the things that you're praying for. You're always on safe ground when you're on the scriptures. When you get away from them, you are in a gray area. Believing God is believing his word. Oh, how necessary it is to know the word of God. Thank God he has given us his word. We need not be in the dark because the entrance of his word gives light. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let's wrap this up. Look with me at James chapter 1. I want to encourage you then just in summing this up. Choose to believe God. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. But to walk in that victory, we have to exercise our faith. Faith is not something that just remains passive in our heart. It won't do any good if it just remains passive in your heart. Faith has to be released. The Apostle Paul encountered a man. He was preaching the gospel in a city called Lystra. Read about it in Acts 14. And the Bible says there was a man that was sitting there listening to Paul preach. He was lame. He had never walked. And the Bible says this man had faith to be healed. Amen. As he heard Paul speak. He had faith to be healed, yet he's sitting there crippled. He had to release his faith. He had to release it. Faith has to be released. Everybody say, faith has to be released.
Faith has to be released.
Amen. Amen. So James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 5. Let me encourage you. I want to encourage you. Release your faith. Do you need provision? Do you need finances? Release your faith. Believe God. Do you need favor? Do you need health and healing? Release your faith. Do you need protection? Do you need wisdom? Do you need guidance? Release your faith. James 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. You thought about that lately? I don't know what to do in this. I don't know what we're going to do about this. I don't know what to do with my business or my job. I don't know what we're going to do with our kids. Anybody ever say things like that? We all have, haven't we? Don't say that anymore. Don't say, I don't know what to do. Don't say, I don't know what I'm going to do. Go to God and say, Father, I lack wisdom. I'm asking of you. I'm asking of you. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally or generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, he says in verse 6, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Ask in faith. Well, how's my faith going to be strong? Number one, my faith is going to be strong because I know God loves me. I'm coming to God asking for wisdom. God cares about me. God wants to show me what to do. He's not up there withholding. Let's just see how much we can make them suffer. Some of you, that's been your attitude, that God's up there just trying to see. You know, and then it comes along, people say this, that which is not scriptural. Well, you know, the Lord won't put on you any more than you can bear. Let's say, well, he's loaded this on them, you know, and he's loaded this on them. And he says, let's see, turns to the angel and says, let's see if this is the camel or the straw that breaks the camel's back. No, he's not loading stuff on anybody. Come on. Amen. So I go to God, and I can come with confidence. I can come in faith because I know he loves me. And I come to him because I found scriptures. I found promises in his word. Oh, thank God. We run across. That's why you need to read your Bible every day. Amen. Just in my daily Bible reading, God has given me so many wonderful promises that fit my situation, that fit things that I'm going through in my life, that give me faith. There's a promise I can hold on to. There's a promise I can believe about this situation. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. And you find, and you come to God and you say, Father, I'm asking according to your will, so I know that you hear me. And since I know that you hear me, I know that I have it. Amen. I know that I have it. It's mine. And so I believe that I receive it when? When I pray. Jesus said, believe you receive it when you pray, and you shall have it. A lot of people want to have it before they believe it. The world says seeing is believing, but the kingdom of God says believing is seeing. Amen. Believe it first, and then you'll see it. See it with the eyes of your faith. See it in the Word of God. Believe that, and then you'll see it manifested in the natural realm. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word today. Father, I pray for your people. I thank you, Father God, that we are overcomers. Lord, I thank you that every person in here, Lord, you know what each one is facing. You know what each one is going through in their lives, Father God. There are situations that all of us are dealing with today that we need to overcome. These situations have been holding us back, dragging us down, beating us up. But Lord, I thank you, you've ordained and you've destined that we overcome in these areas. You've ordained and you've destined that we overcome the world system, that we overcome in these situations. And you said this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So, Father, I pray that people's faith has been energized and stirred today and lifted today, Lord, by revelation. And I pray that it would be by a revelation of how much you love them, of how much you love them. God loves you today. You're his child. You are his, we sang it earlier, you are his beloved. You are his child. And your faith can rise. And I pray that your faith does rise up today and receive all that God has for you and receive victory to overcome in every situation.